Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. What amazes you? What amazes you? Can I tell you something amazes me? Butterflies. Now, not just because my wife raises them. She was going on and on this morning about those that had emerged, and she was quite excited. How many of you have kept chrysalises in your refrigerator over the winter? Yes, I see some ladies out there, they know what I'm talking about. You know, you don't want to snack on them. I mean, just because they're in the refrigerator. But butterflies are amazing. They start out as caterpillars and then go into a cocoon and then come out as a butterfly. And how would evolution explain that? You know what? They can't. They cannot do it. Would you please stand this morning as I read to you from the book of Psalms, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these that are here today. May the words that thou hast given be of encouragement to each and every one of us. And Lord, may I simply say, I am amazed at the love of God. Now bless each one that is here, and we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And as you're sitting there, turn over, if you would, just a couple of pages to Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1. And if you are one that marks your Bible, if you highlight verses, verse 1 of chapter 19 of the book of Psalms should be one that we highlight. Notice what it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The evolutionist will try to tell you we are here by accident. What they are doing is laughing in the face of God and saying, you didn't create us, but the heavens declare it. And they will be without excuse when they stand before the God of the universe. So what amazes you? Can I share a couple of things that amaze me? And if you think they amaze you, that's good. But can I tell you, number one, what amazes me? Magnets. How many of you, when you were a kid, liked to have magnets to play with? And did it fascinate you that north went with south and they clung together tight. But if you took north and put it against north, what did it do? It repelled. It pushed away. Why does it do that? I mean, who made it to do that? As a kid, I was always amazed by magnets. How many of you have a refrigerator magnet? You have on your refrigerator one or two or five, or in our case, probably 35 refrigerator magnets. When we got a new refrigerator, the first thing I asked the salesman is, can I put my refrigerator magnets on it? You know, we live in a world of a lot of plastic. When I was doing my first funeral procession there at the funeral home where I now work part-time, and I was given a bunch of these flags, and you've seen them, funeral procession drives by and you see all those orange flags with a cross on it, and we know what's happening. They're heading to the cemetery. And you take that and you put it on the car and it stays right there. But what do you do when you come to some of these new pickup trucks and they won't stick? They're aluminum. I don't care what you do, they will not stick to that aluminum. Now you say, Pastor Paul, what do? Well, you go get some suction cups and you put it on the side of the window because they have worked that out now. But I like magnets. But that leads me to the next thing that I like, compasses. There's a compass over here on this banner. Did you notice that? Yes. And isn't it interesting that the compass always points in one direction? Which way? North. It doesn't matter which way you turn your compass, the needle points north. I was taught by Brother Wutke at camp was that if you're out in the woods and you're not really sure where you're going, you better have a compass. Because you can't walk a straight line. You know why you can't walk a straight line? Because one of your legs is shorter than the other. And you will go in a circle. Yeah. And it's good to have a compass to direct you where you're going. So do you like compasses? Yes. Let me tell you something else that amazes me. And I was just on one with my wife as we went to Oregon. An airplane. Do airplanes amaze you? How does that big old thing get up in the air and stay there? Doesn't it amaze you? I mean, I don't like to fly. But if you're going a great distance, it's the best way to travel. But I think they're amazing. And I believe that God gave man the knowledge and know how to fly. Do things that float in the water amaze you too? Like a boat? I'm amazed. I really am. But more importantly, submarines. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been on a submarine. But it was in a museum. I'm not sure I'd want to be on a submarine that's going into the depths of the oceans. I think that'd be scary. I understand why something can go down into the water, but the fact that it can come back up again, that's interesting. And I say, Pastor Paul, you're a simple person. I hope that you're not just learning that right now. I really am. Doesn't lead in a pencil amaze you? Whoever thought about putting a piece of lead inside a piece of wood so you can draw? Do you remember when you were in kindergarten and you had that big black pencil? Any of you? I remember those, yes. But the fact that it writes, who came up with that? It's amazing. How about electricity? Does that amaze you? I was taught by Mr. Ford. He used to attend our church here. He said, Electricity is our friend as long as we respect it. It's important to respect electricity, and it will do us well. But electricity amazes me. How about this one? Can I talk to my wife for a moment? Donna's love amazes me. You know, you were so gracious, and you had a party for us, and you gave us a very generous love gift. But really, the greatest gift on June 8th was the 50 years that Donna and I have spent together. Yes. But you know, there's something even more amazing to me, and that is the love of God. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Our God is simply amazing. Not only does he love us, but he's awesome. Notice what it says in verses 12 and 13. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Notice, my hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. My right hand has spanned the heavens. He is so mighty and so awesome and so large that all the universe, as large as it is, his right hand can hold it. And yet, as you turn to Isaiah chapter 53, he loved us so much that when he saw our sinful condition, was willing to provide a way of salvation. We cannot save ourselves. We can only have salvation through Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised. Now, who is the he that is despised? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said that all had what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice the end of verse 6. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who hath declared his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now notice verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. To bruise him. Before the world was created, it was known that Jesus Christ would have to die for sinful man. He knew that he was come to be a sacrifice for you and for me. If you would, the book of 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 10. First John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but what? That he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Does that amaze you? It amazes me. I think, why in the world would you do that? We deserve hell because of our sinful nature. But yet Jesus Christ was willing to come and die for sinners, of whom the Apostle Paul said he was chief. He was being kind, because I'm chief. If you would, turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We find in verse 18 down through verse 20 these thoughts. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, is silver and gold. You cannot buy your way into heaven. I don't care how rich you are, you cannot buy your way into heaven. Nor could all of us decide that one person in this room should go to heaven, and so we gave all our money and all our wealth so that one person could go to heaven. It wouldn't work. Because we are not redeemed with silver and gold. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. How are we redeemed? With the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Blood is important, isn't it? You know, when they were about to do the surgery on Wednesday, they had all kinds of questions. Dr. Mark, they asked me my birthday 17 times. I don't know if they thought it was going to change. Over and over again, can you give us your name? Can you give us the date of your birth? What are they going to do to you? On what side are they going to do it? Over and over, they asked the question. And then they asked, would you be willing, if necessary, to have a blood transfusion if needed? Because without blood, we don't have life, correct? If we were to take some volunteer in here and drained all their blood, what would happen to that volunteer? They would die. You must have blood. And if we are going to have eternal salvation, it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before God spoke the world into existence, it was known that shortly Jesus Christ would suffer for our sins. I'll be honest with you, that just simply amazes me. Now, my wife may think I'm pretty special. Her dog thinks I'm pretty good too. But it's not good enough to get me into heaven. We can only get into heaven through Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 50, if you would please. We've already been in Isaiah 48 and Isaiah 53. But now, Isaiah chapter 50. And we'll look at verses 6 and 7. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. We are told in the Gospels that he set his face to go to Jerusalem because it was now time for him to die. He knew it must be done. Chapter 51 and verse 1. Hearken ye me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Unfortunately, we live in a world today that is too busy for God. We live in an entertainment-driven society. It's what can you do so that I feel good? What can you do to make me happy? When we should be asking the question, God, what can we do to please you? God should be of great importance in our lives. Our churches today should be full because people are worshiping and serving the Lord. Yet I would dare say, as you drove to church today, you saw people doing a lot of things, walking dogs, cutting grass, going to Kroger, doing other things. And church means virtually nothing. Take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we read here questions that are being asked of the disciples of Christ. In verse 13 it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. Jesus is asking Peter and James and Andrew and John. He's asking Matthew and Bartholomew. He's asking Simon Zealot and Judas even. All 12 of them, he's asking this question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? If someone were to ask you who Jesus was, how would you respond? Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want you to think that I'm bragging upon me, okay? But I was there at the hospital on 19 Mile Henry Ford, and I was in the pre-op, and I had met all kinds of different people, and all of them had asked me what? My name and my birth date, right? They came in to tell me that I wasn't going to feel a thing. They came in and did this and they did that. And finally, Dr. Wilkerson came in. He says, you ready? I said, yes. And he explained a few things. And I said, doctor, can I pray for you? Now, I hope you pray for the guy who's going to do surgery on you. And when I said, can I pray for you? He said, thank you. And the three technicians that were there immediately came to the bed where I was at. And I asked the Lord to bless them. You know, I believe it's a great thing that we can count on our Lord. That we can go to Him in prayer, asking that His will be done. Jesus says, whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What's another word for Christ? Messiah. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come for one reason. You do realize that when Jesus Christ was born, it was not so that we would give Christmas gifts to each other. Jesus Christ came to die for you and for me. Notice verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Turn over, well, I have to turn a page, maybe you don't have to verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Does it amaze you that Jesus Christ came to die for you? For you. Each and every one of you, he came to die for us. At a recent funeral, they played a song. Well, I've heard all kinds of songs since I started working for the funeral home. One was they were going to have a beer sitting on the pew in the church. I thought, what? But this one talked about the scars in heaven. Who has the scars in heaven? Well, if you believe the pastor that I had when I was in Texas, he taught that the only things made there in heaven were the scars in the hands of Jesus. He came for you and for me. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to come this day and accept Him as Lord. Oh, you say, I have plenty of time. We just had the funeral for a 39-year-old man. Over half the people that are in the funeral home that I have worked in the year and 8 months are younger than me. Over half of them. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. None. And so you need to make sure that you are prepared to meet your Maker. And He has provided a way of salvation. And that is through Jesus Christ. And all that He asks is you come just as you are. Shall we stand together? Dear Heavenly Father, bless this invitation time. May the Heavenly Spirit touch hearts, especially that one that is closest to hell right now. We pray, Lord, that souls could be saved and hearts made right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.